I love these guys.
Well, welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. John Drennan here with my longtime friend Bill Radford. And every week we're talking about the Detroit Lions. We started this journey last July 2025 prior to the Hall of Fame game. And we've gone every week since. And we appreciate you listening in. You know, this is kind of the so-called quiet time, the gap between the draft and the start of the, you know, organized camps and stuff. But there's a lot going on, Bill. In fact, one thing I'll just lead with here, Detroit has signed all seven of their draft picks, 1 through 7. I mean, they're all signed, sealed, and delivered. And, you know, that's pretty rare. I mean, last year we were talking a little bit about how Ratliff wasn't signing because he was waiting on other number two draft picks ahead of him to be able to see what their contracts were. And it's not the players that do that. It's really the agents.
Right.
But to me, the fact these seven players signed maybe represents a bigger picture. And that is the Detroit Lions are conducting business different this year. And we'll get into other things, but that's one thing. They're very, like, no messing around. We're getting after it, so...
Didn't they also sign all their undrafted free agents?
Well, I know they had two of them signed right away. I haven't heard anything about the other seven. I don't think they've signed them all because I don't think they know that they want to pay all nine of them.
Well, my understanding is that just because you sign them doesn't mean that if you cut them, they're done. But they have to have some kind of contract to come to camp.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen that. What I did see of two of them was they had, I think, guaranteed monies. The one
right.
was 300 grand. The other one was like 175 grand. But I haven't
right.
heard anything about the other seven. And I think they got some real potential with some of these undrafted free agents.
This is way too early for speculation, but we know the teams they're going to play. And my early prognostication, if all things go well, I think 12-5 would be a really good season for the Lions. That probably wins the division. So, and that's counting two losses against Buffalo and New England. So you never know, though. You can beat one of those teams and then lose to the Cardinals or something.
Man, oh man, listeners, that's my podcast partner really looking down the road. Wait, they haven't even announced the schedule. That's coming tomorrow night. Folks, today is Wednesday, the May 12th, or what is it? May 13th. So tomorrow night they'll announce. But we do know who they're playing. We just don't know the dates and everything. So I love, Bill, that you're looking ahead to a 12-win season. And they haven't even, well, I guess they haven't finalized their jersey numbers, but that's about it. I heard they did that.
Well, there you go.
Well, let's talk about the schedule, Bill, because there's a couple, you and I were talking a little bit, there's a couple kind of marquee games this year against some AFC East opponents. You want to talk about that?
Sure. They opened Buffalo's new stadium, Highmark Stadium, for the second Thursday night game of the season. So the Lions will play on a Sunday against whoever they open with. We don't know that yet. And then they'll play their second game right away on a Thursday against Buffalo in their brand new stadium. And I read an article today that said the Lions have a chance to spoil this Highmark Stadium's debut, which I certainly hope they do, but I wouldn't count on it. Buffalo is a very good team. They will be through the roof, both the players and the fans. It'll be a very tough game to play. The other interesting one, you mentioned that they play New England in Germany, in Munich, Germany. What was the date on that? Did you say November 10th?
It's the 10th game of the season. I believe the
Yeah.
date is November 15th. Yeah,
Okay.
because I was looking at flights to Munich, and the date is November 15th, Sunday.
Well, then they must have the 22nd as a bye week.
Well, I heard some podcasters talking about that, and they don't think so. They think they're going to play three games in 11 days.
And one of them in Germany.
And well, okay, I'm sorry, I misspoke. They don't think it'll be a bye after that game. So what they're thinking is it's going to be Munich and then back home for a game and then Thanksgiving. And that'd be three games in 11 days. But that, yeah, they may have a bye before Munich, which I would certainly hope so, given this schedule.
Well, there's I read an article about Ben Bartsch. He's kind of an under the radar signing. I mean, the big splash was other signings, the center, and then the signing the draft picks, getting Blake Miller. But Ben Bartsch was very highly rated as a 49ers offensive lineman. And the thing about I like about getting players that are cut by really good teams is they're probably were pretty good players.
And probably well coached.
Right. And as opposed to getting the cast-offs from, let's say, the Jets. Which doesn't bode well for anybody because the Jets are so terrible. Did you see that article I sent you about the difference between the Jets and
And
Tom
Brady.
Brady?
Yeah. Go
Since
ahead and tell our
2020,
listeners.
since 2020, Tom Brady has won more games than the New York Jets have won. And Tom Brady's been retired for 3 years. So
Yeah.
they said, Jets fans, close your eyes.
Well,
So.
I got to tell you, I'm rooting for the Jets. I just appreciate what Aaron Glenn did as a Lion, and I know what it's like to be miserable as a fan, and the Jets have paid plenty of dues, so I hope they turn a corner. I talked about last week, I think was I see them turning a corner, and as you said, well, that won't take much. I mean, but if they can win five or six games, that's a good trajectory from last year's what they went to, I think.
I think so.
Bill, I want to go back to the Buffalo game. You mentioned that is a big deal. When you're the first team going in to play at a brand new stadium, it's a huge deal for Buffalo. It's really kind of an honor for the Lions. But I think Buffalo might be in trouble. Here's why. Number one, yeah, new stadium, high expectations, high excitement, probably high distraction, but also a new coach. New system, new players. They do have a good roster. We'll talk more about that later. But the Lions also have been known to come in and spoil teams. Now, 3 years ago, we opened on a Thursday night and beat the Super Bowl Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, we sucked in game one at Green Bay, but game two was a Thursday night. We went into Buffalo or Baltimore and beat them. I think that was the only game you picked, or an early game you picked, that Lions would lose. I mean, a lot of people thought Lions were going to lose that one. I believe the year before that, they went in on a Thursday night and beat the Texans. So if I had to bet today on that game, I'd bet the Lions are going to win that one. But no doubt that's going to be a exciting, interesting game.
Well, you're always the optimist, John. I think it was the third game last year I think the Lions beat the Bears in game two.
Bears or game three?
You sure? All right.
Bears or game two? You're right. I got my sheet here. So I'm glad, I did learn a long time ago, I'd trust a dull pencil over a sharp mind, and definitely over a dull mind. So I'm glad I had a reference on that. Yeah, we beat the Bears last year, game two, 52-21, then beat the Ravens 38-30 in game three.
We were on our way. We were 4-1 last year before we finished 4-8. So
Yeah, and
we
the
were
game
five.
that turned the corner, I remember it because it was playing the Chiefs. A couple memorable things about that game. You remember they denied the touchdown to Jared Goff.
Illegitimately.
Yep. Kelce had a catch. It wasn't a catch. It got called a catch, and it was a kind of turning point. And Kirby Joseph shouldn't have been on the field that game. His knee was
Right.
bothering him, and he played like a high schooler. And no disrespect to him, he shouldn't have been on the field and probably worsened his knee. So that game was the start of him being off the field for the rest of the year. So, and they still came close up. Let me double check the score of that game. We lost that one 30-17, and it was closer than that.
I think they scored near the end. I don't know, correct what I said. They after they started 4-1, they went 5-7 the rest of the year because they finished 9-8. But certainly starting 4-1, we expected them to probably not duplicate 15-2, but at least win 11 or 12 games
Yeah, no
and win the
doubt.
division.
No
So
doubt.
we're hoping this year is last year was a hiccup, and this year is back to the standard they set in the two previous years where they made the playoffs and don't start a downward trend. I think that the fragility of the psyche of the Detroit Lions fans will by and large be determined by how well the Lions do this year. If they bounce back and make the playoffs, regardless of what they do in the playoffs, but if they bounce back and make the playoffs, then everybody will look at last year as an anomaly. But if they have the same record and miss the playoffs again, we'll start feeling like the same old Lions.
Well, I agree with that, Bill, but also, and I know you refer to me and already have today as an optimist, but when I just look at the data, the information, and listen to my gut, the only way they copy or match at all this year, next year, is that have at least as bad injuries as they've had the last 2 years, and maybe worse. I just, they've checked too many boxes, filled too many holes. There's too many good things to look at. And if everything comes together, they're in the Super Bowl.
Well,
Typically,
I don't
everything
disagree with
doesn't.
you, but good teams overcome injuries. You look at the San Francisco 49ers, they were decimated last year. They still made the playoffs. They were in the toughest division in NFL with the Seahawks, the Rams, and themselves. The Cardinals were the pushover in that division. But they won some games too. So, but those three teams, the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers, are all very good. They were all in the playoffs. 49ers were completely decimated by injury, and yet they made the playoffs.
So let me rebut that. Yeah, that's right. And I agree, good teams overcome injuries. Typically, good teams have depth. But the other factors I think really affected the Lions was they didn't have an offensive coordinator, and I think they've fixed that. And they didn't have a good offensive line, And I think they've fixed that. And I think in addition to injuries, those three factors were huge. And they played a really tough schedule. My guess is it was a little bit tougher than the 49ers, but I don't ever want to overplay that either because this is the NFL. You know, every game's a freaking battle.
Any given Sunday.
Except the Bears in game two.
Well,
I'm glad we swept the Bears, even though we didn't win another game in the North. But Bill, last week we talked about the ESPN power rankings. And again, it's too early to do all this, but it's something to talk about. And ESPN had the Lions, I believe, at number 12. They had the Packers at 8. Might have had the Lions at 11. Well, then the NFL.com this week comes out with their power rankings, and they got the Lions at is either 13th or 15th. And I'm just shaking my head. But then today I see a roster ranking by one of the top draft experts. And this is based on roster. And listen to this. They have the Rams at number one, Seahawks at number two, Eagles at three, Bills at four, Ravens at five, then the Lions at six, then Broncos, 49ers, team you were just talking about, Texans and Patriots with rosters. No other NFC North team in that top 10.
So, John, why do you think the disparity between the roster ranking and the power ranking?
That's a great question.
Do you have, I have a answer. I don't know if it's a great answer or not, but I have an answer.
Well, give me a moment on that because I haven't thought about it, but it's a great question because obviously there's a re relationship between roster and power rankings. I don't know. Give me your theory.
I think the same people that are ranking the roster are ranking our coaches, and they don't believe in them.
Wait, the ones doing the power rankings don't believe in our
I'm just
coaches?
saying that the disparity, I'm not saying I agree with it, but the disparity is the between the roster and the power is the lack of confidence in coaching.
So the roster ranking, they're taking into consideration the coaching?
No, they're not.
They're not. Okay. Because I was going to say, maybe the roster ranking, they're saying Lions got good coaching, but that's not part of the roster, so.
Well, that's my take on it.
Yeah.
That they would have more confidence in the GM than they do in the coaches.
Well, my only theory, and I didn't say it, but my only theory is these ESPN and NFL folks are just nut jobs. I mean, not nut jobs, but they're, I don't know. They look for controversy. They don't know what they're talking about. Whereas the roster rankers know
So
what they're talking about.
as opposed to us who do know what we're talking
Right. Well, I think we keep proving that.
about.
I toot our horn once in a while because for years you and I have been so right about things that were never shared on the podcast because we weren't doing one. Which is one reason we said, let's do this.
Well,
But we've been right
John,
about a
you are
lot of
the
things.
optimist, I will say. I thought of this last podcast, but I didn't say it. You called a couple of people studs, and I was thinking, if I had a dollar for every person you called a stud that flamed out, I'd have a few dollars.
Well, name one.
I can't think of them right now.
Yeah, there aren't any. Know I used the term stud like three or four times in a recent podcast, might have been last week. Because I heard the playback and I said, well, you're using that word a lot, John, but I thought it applied in every case. Well, when you think of one, let me know. But I like that somebody's looking at this Lions roster and saying, this is a top 10 roster. And you and
Oh,
I.
I agree, and I think the power ranking should be higher than it is. I'm
Right.
only bringing it up because there's a disparity, quite a marked disparity between 6 and 13.
Yeah.
And what's the reason for it?
Damn, no, great question, and you're right. Hey,
I
Bill,
don't
I
know.
want to bring up one thing only because it was talked about a lot, and I was aware. I have no clue how they figure this out. So if I don't, probably our listeners don't, most of them. And that's the fifth year option. So what is that? Because it was recently talked about that Jahmyr Gibbs got his fifth year option and Jack Campbell didn't. So first of all, it only applies to first round draft picks. And rookie contracts are 4-year contracts. So we started off today saying our seven new draft picks have all signed 4-year contracts. And they vary tremendously from pick one through pick seven. Okay, so these are rookie contracts. Well, then the fifth year option only applies to the first round. So that means Blake Miller, in after 3 years, the Lions will have an option to pick up his fifth year option. And that's formula based for that player's position. So let's go back to this year. We had two first round draft picks from 4 years ago who are now in their fourth year. That's Jack Campbell and Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs' fifth year option for next year, not this coming year, is around $15 million. Lions said, yeah, we'll take that deal. And that guarantees he's going to make that, or at least that's his. I don't know if it's guaranteed money, but that's a contract for the fifth year that Lions said yes to. Jack Campbell's, he's a linebacker. He came in at about $21 million. Lions said, no, we're not doing that. Well, then it's like, and by the way, folks, I'm doing this on a Zoom, and Bill's face just changed when he heard $21 million. Why is that? Well, it turns out the NFL groups edge rushers like the guy whose name I keep, the Packers traded to get him from the Cowboys, Parsons, he's considered a linebacker, as are some of these edge rushers who are making the big bucks. So that takes, you take your average linebacker, not an edge rusher like Micah Parsons, but then you throw these expensive edge guys in there, it takes the number way up. So it's not that the Lions don't want Jack Campbell. They're going to keep him. They just didn't want to do the fifth year option.
They didn't want him at that price.
Right. So they'll renegotiate him after this year, probably
I
for
have a
a year.
feeling that if those numbers were switched, if Jahmyr Gibbs was 21, they would have gone the fifth year option anyway. And if Campbell was 15, they'd have probably taken his fifth year option.
Well, and I don't know about that on Gibbs because typical running back, that's really high. And I get he's maybe the best in the NFL, but that's really high. So they might or might not have, but interesting question. But anyway.
Well, I've seen recently he is ranked as the number one running back in the league.
Yeah, and I think that right now, I think the top running back right now is making around 20, 21 million. I think that's Barkley.
Mean the top salary running back?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade Gibbs for Barkley at all.
Okay, I found this on the web for what are the top NFL running back salaries. Check it out.
Yeah, Bill. So I'm checking this here for top paid running backs. And right, I had it and then it dropped. Okay, it's Barkley right now. Annual salary is just under 21 million. Christian McCaffrey 19 million. Breece Hall, 15 million. So it's 12 to 20 million. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs isn't on here as a top one because he's not into his second contract, but he sure as heck will be on that list.
Well, and the other thing about running backs is they're prone to injury. They have the shortest careers of any of the high value offensive positions. I mean, you look at quarterback, wide receiver, and maybe left tackle as the more valuable than running backs. But he's amazing to watch.
And knock on wood, he's been very durable. And a lot of times, great running backs are because they just have great instincts and balance and kind of know when to get out of bounds and when to. It's hard to just get a direct hit on them. And I knock on wood a lot when I say that. Jared Goff, too.
Yeah, I every once in a while I'll get a highlight package of Barry Sanders and I can't help but watch it.
Every time.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. The
Yeah, and
guy.
those he rarely got hit direct. He was like the invisible man.
The guy that was just as durable and completely opposite in terms of contact was Adrian Peterson. He just run people over.
And then who was, I guess it was Gale Sayers that ended up with the real injury issues.
Right. He blew out his knee, I think maybe once or twice. Well, twice, because he did it and came back once and did it and didn't come back the second time. I
Right.
believe that's right.
Right.
But surgeries have improved astronomically since then.
Right.
I mean,
Knees, ankles.
they can do things now that, back then it was you got to cut them open.
Yeah, you look at pretty much any quarterback from the 60s and 70s, and they got a 6 to 8 inch scar on the outside of their knee.
Right.
Well, Bill, let's wrap this up with a little Pistons talk. Tonight's game five of the Pistons back at home playing against the Cavaliers. Pistons won the two home openers and then went to Cleveland and kind of choked away game three. And oh my God, Cade Cunningham is an absolute—he's a stud, Bill. He's a stud. But he was not a stud in the last couple minutes of that game three. I think he had three turnovers and a missed shot, and just kind of fell apart. So I'm glad that's out of his system. And they lost game four pretty handily, but I think they'll win again tonight at home in game five. And I think if they do, we can start a eulogy for the Cavaliers, but you never know.
Yeah, I have a friend who thinks that even if they win, they'll lose to the Knicks, and I have to remind him that the Pistons beat the Knicks three times this year by an average of close to 20 points each time.
Yeah, and
And
the Pistons also stretched the Knicks last year in the playoffs. They lost to them, but I just think the Pistons are at another level this year. So I agree with you.
well, and the Knicks haven't played anybody yet.
Right.
Well, they played Boston, and Boston should have won that series, and the coach should be fired for Boston. It's ridiculous how many 3-point shots they put up. And I was glad to see them lose because I thought the Pistons would have a better chance to beat the Knicks. But then they played Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is not a good team.
And they swept them. The Knicks swept the
Right.
76ers.
So if they get by Cleveland, I think that that they'll beat the Knicks. And then they will not be the favorite in whoever comes out of the West.
That's right. Thunder or
Whether
the Spurs, either one will be a handful.
yeah.
All right. Well, anything else here as we're about to close shop for the week?
Nope. I'm looking forward to the schedule coming out tomorrow where we can start making our even early predictions on how we think things will go. But that's the kind of stuff you talk about in May when football season doesn't start till September.
Yeah, we'll be in the crazy basket with everybody else, I guess, for a while, but there will be some news too coming out. Maybe we'll pick up another edge rusher here in free agency. So, all right, Bill. Well, thank you to our listeners for being with us, and we're on this journey to take with the Lions to the Super Bowl, hoping it's this next season. So, good being with you.
Hi, everyone.